All right, so by now, people have probably heard of the Board of Peace. I'm putting peace in quotes. It's Trump's Board of Peace. And it's just amazing to me that somebody has the audacity to propose a Board of Peace, put themselves in charge, while they're invading Venezuela, while they're threatening to take Greenland from Denmark, while they're saber-rattling at Cuba, and while they're actively engaged in a war with Israel against Iran and Lebanon, and who knows what other countries will be pulled into that conflict. Anyway, earlier this month, there was the inaugural meeting of the Board of Peace, and Donald Trump declared that peace. He declared that there was peace in the Middle East. How do you do that? How do you do that with a straight face? How does anybody buy that? I know Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and Marjorie Taylor Greene aren't buying it anymore. How do you say it with a straight face? We've got peace in the Middle East while you're bombing the dickens out of Iran. I guess in all fairness, on March 2nd, when this announcement was made, he wasn't yet bombing Iran, but he was preparing to do it. The military buildup in the Persian Gulf was huge. So Trump said, quote, in terms of prestige, there's never been anything close to this Board of Peace, because these are the greatest world leaders. Almost everybody has accepted, and the ones that haven't will. That was a proclamation Trump made after taking a little gold-colored mallet and gaveling out the conclave after they met the first time. And apparently they did it to the music of YMCA, which it always shocks me that that's Trump's song, because anyway, it doesn't make sense. I guess they also play Gloria. So, interestingly, first of all, it's not true that the greatest leaders in the world are all on the Board of Peace. It's not true that they're all going to get on board. But what is true, The Intercept did a good analysis of this, and every member state of the Board of Peace has been rebuked for human rights violations, including many by Marco Rubio's own State Department. Rubio was there for this. So, you know, it's just remarkable to me that anyone takes it seriously. But of course, there are those countries that, you know, that don't have any trouble with the authoritarianism arising in this country. Maybe they see some help. I mean, certainly Argentina loves what happened. Argentina got what? $40 billion from Trump. You know, fellow authoritarians, they got to stick together. One more thing I want to talk about today before we have save time for our farm and food segment. The election. We got to keep talking about this, because if we don't have an election this fall, we have arrived at full-fledged authoritarian government. And if we do have an election, I am almost certain, and I think all the polling suggests this as well, I'm almost certain we're going to see a significant shift in power. And again, some of that might be good. Some of them might be the same kind of lifetime political people that have got us into the messes we're in. We'll see. I have some hope. We'll see. But apparently, the U.S. Justice Department, again, this is all part of preparing to, quote, steal the election, which is what Trump wants to do. He wants to steal the election. He wants it not to be successful. That's what the SAVE Act is about, and that's what the U.S. Department of Justice is about, through obtaining personal data of millions of voters. They're trying to get this data because they want to say they need that data to make sure it's going to be fair and secure. But really, I mean, what people studying this stuff believe is that Trump is basically, the administration is basically laying the groundwork to, again, cast doubt on the results. So the Department of Justice has sued 29 states and the District of Columbia because of their refusal to provide unredacted voter rolls. It was 25 states last time we talked. It's up to 29 now, I guess. So they want voter rolls and driver's license and partial security social security numbers. There have been three of those lawsuits have been decided, all going against the Department of Justice. So, you know, right now, again, I've said this before, the courts have been providing the kind of the last defense against full-fledged authoritarianism. It'd be nice to see that Congress might at some point rise to the challenge of providing another block. It'd be nice if more in the media, more in corporate America would also provide some obstacles to authoritarianism. But hey, good for the courts. So far, you know, of course, the Department of Justice is appealing those losses in those three states. And it's filing what are called emergency motions because they are warning that the security and sanctity of elections is at stake. I guess the three states were California, Michigan, and Oregon. All big states, especially California, all states that have significant for the most, well, Michigan less so, but a significant Democratic majority. So election experts had said that the federal appellate courts are unlikely to move quickly for the Justice Department. That's interesting. The department's court filings have suggested that without the data they hope to collect from these 29 states, the Trump administration may question the validity of the midterm elections in November. So either way, Trump's going to benefit, right? Get the data, use it to suppress the vote. Don't get the data, blame the election loss on not having had that data. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. But I think the fact that citizens, courts, lawyers, individual states, attorneys general, secretaries of state are standing up is encouraging. I know, as I said last week, there are some states that are specifically passing legislation preventing ICE or other federal armed officials from coming to polling places. They shouldn't even have to pass such a law because it's pretty much there in the Constitution. So it's not just Democratic elected officials who have condemned the administration's demands for this personal information as an invasion into the privacy of the voters. Some Republicans have voiced those same objections. And again, we saw that back in 2021 after Trump claimed that election was stolen. We saw, you know, the Secretary of State in Georgia, the governor of Georgia, who pushed back. We saw election officials elsewhere in the country, Republican elected officials, election officials who also pushed back against it. So, you know, all I can say is beware of this, be aware of it, and keep talking about it. There are so many things we have to be aware of. And I mean, we spent a lot of time in this program talking about war and peace. We spent a lot of time talking about climate and the environment and about farm issues. But this is really high up there because if we don't have a fair election, and again, there's no doubt about what Trump is trying to do because he knows he can't win this fair and square. And I will say this. Trump did win the 2024 election fair and square. We've debriefed that. We're not going to go there again. But Joe Biden won the 2020 election fair and square. The 2026 midterm election, if polling is any indication and momentum among the electorate is any indication, is almost certainly going to tip favorably to the Democratic Party. And then, you know, even without big things like Iran and gas prices and ICE agents coming into U.S. cities and tariffs, even without these big issues, the midterm election almost always goes against the party in power. Certainly the president's party tends to fare poorly in those elections. But when you get the president and both houses of Congress, yeah, even without all these other things happening, the midterm election is almost certainly going to go toward the party that's not in power. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. None of us know for sure what extent the Trump administration is going to go to try to corrupt this election. But I think it's safe to say is they will go to whatever extreme they need to go to make sure that they don't lose, if they lose at the polls, despite all their efforts to prevent that from happening, they will call the election stolen. And we have to prepare for that as well.